You're listening to the Ask Drone You podcast. You ask, we answer your drone questions. Whether you're here to turn your passion into profit or you simply fly for fun, we're a community of learners and teachers who aspire to achieve greatness. We are
Drone You.
Good morning, good evening, g'day. Wherever you are, whatever time it is, thank you for joining us this morning, this evening, or this g'day, because we've got some great information to talk about today. Something that is brought up all the time at in-person trainings. We're talking about flying over people, and I think that this definition has been lost on many, because as many of you know, there are a lot of videos all over social media of people flying drones over large crowds. And then you also have the opposite end of the spectrum where you have people who are just so afraid to ever fly over people, meaning like someone, you know, who's randomly on the sidewalk when you're doing a mapping mission, that they won't fly and they're like inhibiting and hurting their business. So we want to try to hit this as specifically as possible for all of you to have a better understanding of what you can do and what you can't do and maybe what you shouldn't do. But today's show is gonna be brought to you by, it's actually the Drone You Experience Training. Now, this is a very interesting ad because in all honesty, we have done this experience training with enterprise clients, and an enterprise client bought literally every single ticket but two. So this May of 2024, we are doing another construction themed experience training. This means that you get to come to colorful Colorado where beauty is around every corner, and you get to capture that with your drones. But you also get to learn the workflow of mapping and modeling construction sites, flying Cinewhoop and doing drone tours through construction sites, and understanding how to create orthomosaics and other mapping deliverables that are going to be necessary for you to fly construction sites. Now, the benefit is these seats that are open, you are literally going to be next to a group of drone pilots that work for a very large Fortune 500 construction company. You're going to get to sit next to the horse's mouth as you learn all these things and drive relationships. Now, on top of that, the experience training covers your lodging, your food, and your boarding. You're going to get some very special food, too, from the newest of catering companies in Colorado called Bald Incorporated. He makes really good carne asada, anything, and does really good at barbecue, too.
Some enchiladas.
Enchiladas por vida. Actually, those were some of the best enchiladas I've ever had.
I put my heart and soul into those enchiladas.
So if you want to join us for a seven-day-long training that's also gamified, where you have to compete to build those deliverables before you leave that week, then you do not want to miss this opportunity. Now, because this training is pretty much sold out, minus one, maybe two tickets, we're not putting a website together. We're not having a sales page to go over all the benefits of this training. I've told it all to you right now. You're going to learn photo editing, video editing, orthomosaic construction, 3D modeling, flying Cinewhoops inside. You're going to learn how to do and create a video, marketing photos, and orthomosaic maps for all the deliverables that you would need for construction. If you want to join us for this 7-day experience training, again, only one, maybe two seats open, you've got to email Rob direct. There is no URL. rob@thedroneyou.com. In the subject line, say, I want that last ticket to the experience training. Now, that said, the experience trainings have gone over so well that most of our enterprise clients do them now. If you want to learn why they're so effective, then join us. We'll see you there.
Hey guys, my name is Tom. I'm calling from Chicago. I'm a new drone pilot, and I want to get into multiple fields with my drone. One field I want to get into is wedding. And since we cannot fly over people or around people, would the Air 3 be a better selection since it has a zoom capability? If not, what would you recommend? And also, can we talk about and explain more the law about flying over and around people? Thank you so much.
Thanks, Tom. Appreciate the question. I'm going to be very, very honest with you in that we were not quite able to understand exactly what you said you're interested in.
Sledding
maybe, or running, but it's okay. We can still answer this question with a general understanding of what you're trying to do, which is to somehow fly over a person or persons.
It does make you wonder, though, is this some like random weird sport that we've never heard about? Like leading.
Like leading?
Like you throw lead at your friends to see if you bruise them. Like, I don't know.
I wonder. Hey, it is Chicago.
Exactly.
Sorry.
You never know. It also is America. So there's that.
There is that. That's right. That's right. So there's been a few changes in flying over people over the last year or two, relatively
100%.
New, right? So quite a bit to talk about, really.
No, there really is. And by the way, for all of you who are Drone U members, do know that there is an update to Part 107 that we did, and we're actually in the middle of updating the entire Part 107 right now. But if you look at the 107 update, we have a deep dive on this very particular topic, and we go over the questions that are associated with it on the new Part 107 test. Or if you are doing your recurrency, we cover it on that update as well. And Rob, I got to be honest, I think a lot of people are confused because what they see on social media and what they see on the FAA's website, even some outdated pages on the FAA's website, which you just brought up regarding flights over people waivers. Which
it came up as the primary result on a search.
Yes.
Interesting.
Color me surprised that the government is behind on SEO, but I mean, we are due.
Well, maybe that's Google's fault.
Yeah, maybe. Either way, what it goes to show is that it's not crystal clear on what drone pilots can do, because as you mentioned, Rob, last couple of years, transversing people has become a real thing.
Oh, I think anybody that's watching any sort of drone video and cycling through various drone videos, trying to learn, enjoy them, whatever, is seeing multiple of drones flying over people. And I will say this in terms of giving the FAA some credit. It looks like through what they have done over the last couple of years, they are trying to keep up as best. I don't want to say as best they can. They are trying to keep up. I don't know if it's as best they can or not.
I like your unrealistic optimism, Rob.
No,
it's great.
That's not fair. No, we hate the word fair, but that's not fair.
Or reasonable. No, I think a lot of people get lost in the update to the law regarding transversing people. It's no longer just flying over people. What it is transversing people versus sustained flight over people. And if you are just transversing people with your drone, you can technically fly over people as long as it's not a sustained hover. That's kind of like the crux of the issue. But if you're flying over an open assembly or over a body of people, the FAA has three new categories that you must comply with in order to sustain flight over people. Mm-hmm. And Rob, as we're seeing, this is kind of it's kind of confusing. It's not crystal clear.
It is a little confusing, and you really have to go down a couple of layers to make sure you get it right. So for example, there's the 0.55 pounds or less rule, which
those
is micro category
drones.
One. I think a lot of people, and rightfully so, immediately go to the minis from DJI for the solution to this, right? The issue with that is this second part to category one, the drone can contain no exposed rotating parts that would cause lacerations. And my understanding, correct me if I'm wrong, is that once you put the prop guards on the minis, it goes over the 0.55. Is that true?
This is a really important point. This is, okay, DJI does make some of the best micro drones that fit under category one if you wanted to fly over people. Category one is amazing because you also don't need any official declaration filed with the FAA to say that you can fly this drone over people. But Rob, to your point, if you even use the extended life battery.
Oh, definitely you're over.
You're over.
Right,
yeah.
Right.
Now, if you add the prop guards, you're over unless you take sandpaper to the entire exoskeleton of the drone and shave a millimeter off of it. I watched someone do this on YouTube.
No way.
Yeah, and I'm like, brilliant. So,
why not?
I mean, I saw another guy who like literally just like cut the plastic and pulled the plastic part off, and he was down there. One of my favorite comments ever was, is the FAA going to actually measure the weight of my drone? And the answer is no. No, they're not. But DJI played a dirty Chinese daddy trick again. They've done it since 2012. Frankie, really got to quit this crap. What am I talking about? Rob, imagine that every time you flew your mini drone and you had the extended life battery, DJI reports that you're over the micro category vis-a-vis remote ID. They are narking on you when you take flight. Think about that. Think wow. about that. If I were Skydio or all these other companies that are lobbying against Chinese drones, I would use an emotional trigger like that. Like, do you really want the Chinese telling the US government that you might be flying slightly over the weight limit? And the answer is no. No one wants that.
Yeah.
But until Skydio or someone else puts out a drone that can compete, it's like, guys, the answer is simple here. You don't have to lobby the competitor out of existence. What mm-hmm. you need to do is produce something that is better, because there's a lot of things that people don't like about Chinese drones. I
True.
Mean, look at how many people are buying, what is it, ERGT, ERGOT, or yeah, those ERGOT drones, which are sub 250 grams. They can carry a naked GoPro. They have no exposed rotating parts. You have no limitations on where you can fly them, and people are getting them. We wrote a whole article, by the way, on micro FPV drones that you can use to comply with category one of the rule.
Okay.
But I will say, just to wrap this point up, if you want to fly over people, over sustained groups of people, having a sub 250 gram drone with prop guards is going to allow you to capture footage that most of your competitors will not legally be able to capture. Now, is the FAA going to stop these illegal pilots? The chances are, in our video on enforcement actions, is no. So should you play drone police? Let's ask Rob. Should we play drone police?
Oh, gosh. We've no. learned the hard way. Absolutely yeah.
no,
not.
No, don't play drone police.
Just
what matters is if that person crashes and they cause some sort of injury, or they crash and they damage a bunch of gear at a concert, if you're not following the FAA guidelines, your insurance is not going to cover you. That's right. why you should care.
Yeah. And just a quick point on playing drone police. A policeman typically has a chain of command, meaning there's somebody in control of the police force. I would argue there's nobody in charge of the police force. So you have no basis to be a policeman. There's no captain.
Mm.
There's no sheriff.
But Rob, I am the commander. I'm just kidding.
So I don't know if that point is resonating with anybody, but it makes sense in my mind. So there's no point in being a drone policeman. What about category twos and threes?
So category two, that if you want to essentially, and I think that you should probably read what you have, but essentially I believe it's below, like, I can't remember exactly how many pounds, but it's my understanding that it's a performance-based eligibility on a drone that would cause, I think it's like 11 kinetic pounds of force upon crashing. But typically, in order to fly over or have sustained flight over people, that you'd have to have a declaration of compliance with category two or category three. So Inspire 3, that's going to be category 3, I believe.
Well, let's just read this then. Category 2 and 3 provide performance-based eligibility and operating requirements when conducting operations over people using unmanned aircraft that weigh more than 0.55 pounds, but do not have an airworthiness certificate under Part 21. Okay, so great. In addition, for Category 2 operations, no remote pilot in command may operate a small unmanned aircraft in sustained flight. Emphasis on that real quick, bold, sustained flight over open air assemblies unless the operation is compliant with remote ID.
So now, really quick, before you keep going down, notice that all these categories 1, 2, and 3 state that you have to be compliant with remote ID.
Right.
There's a new lawsuit out showcasing what the previous judge said had to be proved in order for them to take the case seriously. And so remote ID might be challenged again. And if remote ID is challenged, I would imagine that this rule would be updated as well to comply with that.
If it's challenged and defeated.
Successfully,
which
yes.
I find very unlikely.
I sure hope it is, because I think there's some very clear constitutional rights that are being violated with remote ID.
That may be true, but we're trying to give the people the reality of right now. And we all know, you've heard, hope is not a strategy. That is still true today.
It's insanity.
It is. So anyways, compliant with remote ID. What do they mean by that when they say
you're broadcasting remote ID?
That's all it means?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
In this case?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. So as long as you're in compliance with remote ID. Interesting. No remote may sustain flight unless the operation is compliant. So if it is compliant with remote ID, you can have a sustained flight over
Yes.
That's what that says?
Yes. This is classic FAA language.
Okay.
If B equals C minus D squared, then we know that A is equal to B minus C plus E and G and F, and you might get Z.
Yeah, okay.
Sorry, but that's about how clear the language is.
Anyway. Category 3, small UAS have, this is what keeps the folks who have decided to focus on drone law.
Busy.
Something to do. Category 3, small UAS have further operating restrictions. A remote pilot in command may not operate a small unmanned aircraft over open air assemblies of human beings. Cows are apparently okay. Additionally, a remote pilot in command may only operate a small unmanned aircraft over people if it's within or over a closed or restricted access site and all people on site are on notice that a small...
So
that used to be a thing that even if they gave your okay, they're okay, you couldn't.
Correct.
This is saying that you can if they give their okay.
Well, this is also saying that, like, let's say you're flying a concert. Let's use Isleta as an example, okay, right? Because we just both know that. If you had signs up, and they're doing this now at concert venues, if you have signs up that says there are drones flying over this group of people and you are subject to photography and videography, etc. Now it's actually a part of most tickets that are sold through like Live Nation. It's literally on the back of your ticket that you might be photographed, you might be have video taken of you.
You might be flown over?
And that is included as well. But you'll typically, like, Isleta has these signs up now, by the way. So
that you might be flown over by a drone?
Yep. Mm-hmm. The sign is something like drone videography in this area subject to ticket terms and conditions or something like that. It's very, very bland, vague language, but essentially it's saying we're flying drones here, mofo.
Okay. So the idea, though, is that there's not even to be an allowed flight over people. There is not a sustained flight over any person, right?
Now, this goes back to what we said at the beginning. If you're transversing people,
right,
this goes away. But if you are sustaining flight, and notice that the FAA, even at the bottom of this page, is like, okay, yeah, well, this has clearly become an important point here of sustained flight. Read the note.
We will. Okay, so here's the note. And by the way, there is a category 4 relative to Part 21 airworthiness certificates. I don't think we'll get into that on this podcast, but let's read the note. Sustained flight over an open air assembly includes hovering above the heads of persons gathered in an open air assembly. Okay, so number one, hovering for how long? I don't know. Do you know?
This is like visual line of sight, Rob. Did they ever define visual line of sight? No.
Yeah. So we're just kind of, we're not trying to poke holes in this stuff. We're just trying to poke holes in this stuff. No, real.
We're not poking holes, Rob. It's Swiss cheese. Let's keep moving forward.
We're just exposing the holes, removing the curtain. Okay. So carrying on. Open air assembly, flying back and forth over an open air assembly.
Do you notice why they keep using the word or term open air assembly? Because, like, let's say that you're in the blue arena.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That's not open air. It's inside. No FAA jurisdiction.
Right. Yeah. No jurisdiction if you're inside. So they have to say open air assembly, mm-hmm, I suppose. But also, what is meant by flying back and forth? We talked about this before we started the show. Is that a direct boom, boom? Or does that include going across here and then over here? Is that back? I wouldn't say that's back and forth. That's back in... two.
Well,
right?
I mean,
I don't
know. Think about the third rule of takeoff, where we teach people to do the control sweep,
mm-hmm,
and then the battery test. The control sweep is just whoop whoop, and that's a matter of a few feet. Is that back and forth?
Yeah, I don't know. So getting back to this, the next section, sustained flight over an open air assembly includes, I'm kind of starting over here, hovering above the heads of persons gathered in an open air assembly, flying back and forth over an open air assembly, or circling above the assembly in such a way that the small unmanned aircraft remains above some part of the assembly. So I guess that kind of answers it, above some part of the assembly. Sustained flight over an open air assembly of people in a Category 1, 2, or 4 operation does not include a brief one-time transiting over a portion of the assembled gathering, where the transit is merely incidental to a point-to-point operation unrelated to the assembly.
Mm.
Unrelated to the assembly. Wow. Or brief. So there's just a lot of words in here that are undefined. And I think on the one hand, it's allowing for some flexibility. But I would imagine at some point in this process, be it a court or some other FAA person or whatever, it would go from flexibility to being very subjective and not by your subjectivity. I mean, that's the risk that you run if you decide to push these, right? Yep. Somebody's subjectivity could come into play at some point, and that is not going to be yours. So just be aware of that is what I'm trying to say.
I would say also be aware that most of the enforcements have all happened in Class B airspace. So if you're doing this concert in Denver's airspace or, you know, Salt Lake City's airspace, for example, mm-hmm. that your chances of realizing the impact of subjectivity might be increased, not yeah. by much, but increased.
Absolutely. Okay. So let's make this very practical. So using the example here that Tom brought to our attention.
Oh, yes.
And he brought up an Air 3,
mm-hmm.
which we actually really love that drone. Although, I've never flown it because he has it all the time.
Oopsie.
But anyways, let's be practical. And let's just say it's sledding and there's a group of people watching the sledding, just to paint a picture. What is the practical way to go about that for Tom?
And I'm glad you brought it back to this because ultimately we're here to answer questions. And I think it's going to be dependent upon how close that he's trying to get in these shots. In all honesty, you're going to get better zoom detail from something like a Mavic 3 Pro than you are from a Mavic Air 3. And I say that because I love the Mavic Air 3. As you know, I've been taking a lot of panos with it. I love the raw capability on that camera, but I only use the wide camera. The zoom camera gets grainy really fast, like really, really fast. And I think if you're going to do, zoom based videography and photography, that for a few extra $100, you're probably going to be better off with a Mavic 3 Pro. Now, personally, if we're talking about sledding, meaning snowmobile sledding.
I think that might be what he's talking about.
Then I would go with an Inspire because all of these smaller drones have been datafied by DJI, meaning they're trying to software control the way that you manipulate the drone as to yaw or rotation of the drone is prioritized over roll of the drone. When you're trying to chase fast vehicles, when you're trying to get dynamic shots, you're fundamentally limited on all these smaller drones now to get those shots. Like with a Phantom, you could go chase boats, cars, snowmobiles, all that, and it would be fine. Nowadays, they focus more on creating drones that are just super smooth for users out of the box. Now, that also means that you can't do some of the cooler stuff with these lower end drones. Personally, Rob knows I want an Inspire 3, so executive decision, we need to buy one. But I love my Inspire 2. Like if you want to get great action sports shots and you want to have a really beautiful detailed zoom based image, the X7 with a 50mm zoom is the clearest, most detailed zoom you are going to get. That might be out of your budget. So that's why I said the Mavic 3 Pro is your next best bet, because you've got three unique sensors that give you three unique perspectives. But again, you're going to notice the detail, like in your landscape shots, you're going to notice the detail is lacking in the mountains. You're going to notice the detail is lacking in the clouds. With an Inspire 2 or Inspire 3, you're going to have
Both worlds.
Yeah, you're going to have amazing detail in the mountains. Like you could zoom in to your photo and have a perfect Douglas fir on the top of the mountain and be able to count how many branches are on it. Like
right.
it's the zoom detail that's the difference. So if you want to one up the competition and have much clearer looking photos and videos with a wider color gamut, then the Inspire 2 is a no-brainer.
And you can still get Inspire 2s. They're going to be used, I think, but you're
No, you can buy them still brand new. I was thinking about advocating for us to get one because I absolutely love the Inspire 2. There is, if I could take that drone everywhere with me, I would. Maybe I keep the Expedition and cut a hole out of the roof and just have it pop up out of the roof.
Okay. So in this particular case though, flying over people in his situation, whichever drone he's using, I think the thing to focus on is just don't hover. Ultimately, don't hover over anybody.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
I mean, that's probably the safe way. Just transverse.
If you're transversing people, it is okay. If you are at all hovering or sustaining flight over a group of people, that's where you have to comply with one of these four categories. Micro drones, way to go.
Yeah. This last sentence kind of bothers me, where the transit is merely incidental to a point-to-point operation unrelated to the assembly. Well, why are you there flying if it's unrelated to the assembly?
And it sounds like what they're trying to say is, if you're running an automated mapping mission that's point to point, you don't need to follow these rules.
I don't know what they're saying.
So it's like, okay,
why would you even be flying? Like, if there's an event, why would you be there flying if it's unrelated to the assembly?
Bro, this is FAA logic, buddy. This is a perfect example of how they have no experience on what they're talking about.
Well, I think at a minimum, it would be really great, and maybe they have, and I just haven't seen it or heard it. It'd be great to have them like walk through each of these points and explain it. I bet they have. I bet Kevin has. Somebody probably has.
Yeah.
Just need to find it. Maybe they've gone deeper on
okay.
this.
Okay, Kevin did a show with Mr. Gregory, and they didn't answer any of the hard questions.
Did they go into the subject?
They did go into the subject, but as soon as you get into the hard questions about transversing versus sustain, micro drones, the answers got really fuzzy.
Well, if you look that's because he doesn't want to be on record saying what the answer
exactly.
is. Because literally, if he's speaking on behalf of FAA, which he is, whether he wants to be or not, he can't be held responsible for putting something on record. So I get that. So I guess we just continue to guess.
And now you see the point of why it's so important to answer hard questions, because people want to know, people want to comply. And it seems like the FAA really is sinking their teeth into the people who want to comply rather than the like absolutely egregious, those who are hurting every other drone pilot. And that's still not an excuse to play drone police. Okay.
Absolutely not. And I think, I mean, we're here, we're answering the question, we're talking about this because we do want to comply. And we want people to comply.
Exactly.
It's just that it's difficult to comply, meaning if you have to always err on the side of super careful, well, then why put the freaking drone in the air in the first place?
Especially when you can fly a 200-pound drone that carries a person under Part 103 without a license or restriction. It's a joke.
Oh, now, yeah.
It's a joke. No, it's important because
I'm kidding.
If you looked at the comment section of that webinar that Kevin Morris did with Greg, the comment section was on fire of like, dude, answer the questions that we care about, you know?
He can't, and he won't.
Well, I think the question that still needs to be asked and answered, because everyone's starting to get the point here, is what is Part 107 really applicable to drones that are not in navigable airspace? Because the question is coming up more and more and more. I've personally asked Kevin, you know, I've asked you at least a dozen times to address this on the show. I've talked to the administrator about it. They will not do it. And I think it's actually really important, because when it comes to getting airspace waivers in controlled airspace. And like, I mean the specific example of like DIA, right? Huge construction project at Denver Airport right now. And they are giving out waivers, and this is already starting to happen. So this is good. Mm-hmm. But if you've got a crane in the air that's 200 feet in the air and you need to do a mapping mission at 100 feet in the air, it's not navigable airspace if there is an obstruction larger and higher than the drone mission itself. And
in that airspace?
I guess you'd have to kind of give that a perimeter, right? Of like, okay, well, if we're within a few hundred yards of that crane, that makes sense. So I think that this is important, though, because it would provide clarification to a lot of people. And I think it would actually build trust and credibility between the FAA and the flying public. I mean, I really think it could only help.
You know, what's interesting is that when they put out the rule proposals, there's generally a lot of examples of like, think of this or this scenario, but none of those examples make it into the actual rule where they would be most beneficial.
That's a really solid point, Rob.
Why is that? Because I think this is just wrought with opportunity for, this is what we mean by whatever. Open air assembly, show a picture. And we can imagine, obviously, what that one means. That one's probably a stupid one. Or hovering, for how long? Give a couple of scenarios, a couple of examples. Well, 3 seconds is a long time if X, but you can go to 10 seconds if Y, but they're leaving it up to interpretation. And maybe that's just, I mean, obviously, that's the way they intended it. They're not dumb. They're smart people. I wish we could understand a little bit better what's going on in their minds when it comes to this stuff. Because again, we see it all over the internet and nobody seems to care.
And on that bombshell, that's going to do it for us today, Rob, because I couldn't agree more. My name is Paul.
I'm Rob.
What do you think about this video, transversing people, flying over people, etc.? Because we have seen both edges of the gamut, meaning the people who are extremely cautious to the point of people who really don't care at all and they're doing really egregious stuff that kind of hurts us all. Still don't play drone police.
Does it really hurt us though? Anyways, keep going. I don't know if it does.
I don't think it.
Actually, at this point, no one's doing anything
about it. It might have hurt you in Minnesota or Washington where they created drone registries.
That's true.
Absolutely violating the FAA memorandum.
Long term, it could hurt us. That's true.
So yeah. Anyway, let us know what you think. Super
Please.
Curious to your reaction on this video. Thank you to everyone who continues to listen to Ask a Drone You, for all of those members that are learning, and our library only continues to expand. And I will say thank you to everyone in the cell tower class this last week. Two of the four guys who came got jobs, and that's awesome. So thank you to Zoe. Thank you to 5x5. Thank you to the drone jobbers who actually understand the value of high quality training, because we're building a reputation and we're building things that might directly compete with other drone jobbers out there, and we're doing it better, and the reputation is already occurring. So thank you to everyone who's making that happen and who's making the dreams of taking flight permanently happen. Thank you to all of you. Thank you for listening to Ask Drone You.
We believe that videos, images, words, and sounds have the absolute power to inform, inspire, and entertain. We reject indecision, confusion, and vanity, for they work against the community. We are united under the virtues of safety and knowledge. We are a training community of learners and teachers who encourage and energize each other to achieve greatness. We are pilots, videographers, photographers, freelancers, business owners, enthusiasts, experts, and apprentices. We are creators. We are the Drone U.